So today is Christ the King Sunday, something that oftentimes we have a tendency to forget about. I do. I can't speak for you, that's for sure. And being Christ the King Sunday, we generally read some pretty powerful parts of Scripture, not that any parts aren't powerful, but the one I'm going to read to you today, you might even scratch your head a little bit and say, for Christ the King Sunday, why would he read this text? I think so many times when we get to these special events or these special days, we have a tendency to think there's only certain texts that we can use. This text has always been a very special text to me. I remember the very first time that I ever preached this text in my life. I preached it in South Range as a seminary student for a SEM service. And God really spoke to me through this text. And I think that if we were to even consider, and I'm not even saying that I'm going to do this 100% right. I'm not saying that I'm a great theologian and I see something that other people haven't seen before. But I think to ignore everything that's going on in our lives today and the difficulties that we're living through, I think is foolish. And I think that really, if we were to think about it, we're on kind of a road to Emmaus ourselves, where we feel beaten. We feel downtrodden, but the hope is that God is always there, and he knows exactly where we are. So, I'm going to ask that you remain seated, because I'm a nervous kind of reader, and if you're standing, and I'm making a lot of you stand there, and I'm stumbling over something, I'm going to feel even worse. So, we'll still honor God by reading this word in honor as we are seated. We're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 13 through 35, and I'm going to read this in Jesus' name. Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood looking sad. And one of them, named Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up and condemned him to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since those things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said to them he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things to enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to a village which they were going, and he acted as though he would go farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they arose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the eleven and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would speak and that men and flesh would be silent. We pray, Father, that we would not allow tradition to override our thoughts, but rather, Father, empty us of our thoughts and allow your truth to sanctify us. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. It's an interesting thing. We live in a very interesting time, and in some ways, if we could step back for a moment, and if we could actually stop and watch what's going on, we could say we're living in a very interesting time where a lot of people haven't had the opportunity to experience such a thing. But the one thing that we can feel as we go through different moments, and it doesn't have to be just about the air that's going on now. It can be personally in your own life. It could be very seriously like our brother Dale Nemi, who's down in a hospital downstate. He's doing better. We've been praying for him. But feeling alone. Feeling like nobody can be around because of what's taking place. It doesn't have to be just this understanding of what we see in elections or COVID or anything else. Personally, for each and every one of us, we all are going through a struggle. We have victories, praise God for that, right? I have victories when we think about 2020. I turn around and, you know, in some ways I want to say as a human being, I wish it never came. But then little Kyson comes in 2020, my grandson. I find joy and I find pleasure and I find blessing. Even our text today that we're going to be talking about, we see the breaking of bread, and when the breaking of bread takes place, Jesus is revealed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to get together. We're going to get together Thursday, and we're all going to break bread together in different homes and different places. I'm not saying, in case you know, people are listening and saying, oh, now this whole church is getting... No, in our homes, we're going to get together. We're going to break bread. And I pray that each and every one of us sees the realness of Jesus Christ. Because just to have that bread to break is a blessing. We are still blessed. Christ the King Sunday is a very powerful Sunday. It is a Sunday where we give recognition and worth to the understanding of Jesus Christ, our King. A name that is above every name. That we are the children of God. That we are elect in Him. To understand and know no matter what may be going on in our lives, it doesn't take away from who we are as His children. Can you imagine for a moment when you turn around and you follow an individual for 3 years? You follow an individual for 3 years and you watch him do things that could never be done before. You watch miracles taking place, you know, left and right. You see that in reality, he can heal those that are hurting. He can bring restoration to those that can't speak. He can bring sight to those that cannot see. He can bring hearing to those that cannot hear. He can feed the thousands. And you're waiting your whole life for this. You're waiting as an Israelite. You're waiting for someone to free you from the grips of Rome. And you finally find the individual that can do it. And you're so stoked. You are. You're fired up. And then he starts talking about the demise that's going on. He starts talking about behind the scenes how people are seeking to destroy him. How people are going about to actually rob him of his life. He even speaks it to those that are in power. He turns around and he speaks it in the aspect that you will seek to kill me. And what do they say? He's crazy. He's crazy. Oh, I know you guys' minds are wandering. I'm still talking of Jesus Christ. I'm talking of Jesus Christ here. But you had your hopes and you had your dreams aligned in this one. And you've seen him do things that no one could ever do. And then they take him. And through false trials and through false things, they actually try him for death. Even Pilate himself understands and knows something's up here. Because they call for his blood. Because the ends justifies the means. It doesn't matter what good he's done. It doesn't matter anything else that's taken place. Yes, I'm speaking of Jesus. They want him gone. How could this ever happen? How could it happen to someone that has just sought to help, to encourage, to give peace? Jesus never raised an army. There's not one war that was caused under his tenure, under his time. Not one war. Now that could be an innuendo. But the fact of it is, he gave. He gave and gave and gave and expected nothing back. Nothing back. They thought he was invincible. When you can raise the dead, when you can heal those that are lame, you can heal those that can't see, when you can heal those that can't hear, you can bring back all this restoration. They thought he was invincible. And then they took him. And as I said, through these trials, these false trials, these dark accusations, where they couldn't even get their story straight, they crucify him. They crucify him. How, in the reality of things, does this individual die? He can raise the dead. How can he die? Can you imagine their heart as it sunk in this time? All their hopes, all their dreams, they're dashed. We know that the other apostles are hiding. They're in the upper room. Because you never know who's going to come after them. You don't know who's keeping a list and saying, keep track of these individuals that followed. But these two, that very day, two of them were walking and they were going to a village named Emmaus. And it was about 7 miles, so a day's journey to Jerusalem. And they were walking with each other, and we can see their hearts. We can see what's going on in their lives. Their hopes, their dreams are dashed. They're feeling alone. They're feeling like they've been let down. They feel like there's nothing that can carry us on from this moment. Maybe I'm embellishing a little bit. I don't know, but do you ever felt that way? Have you? To speak to an individual on Tuesday in a hospital by himself, to hear what's going on in his heart, and then to realize that God is still upon the throne, not that it was ever lost in someone else's eyes, he knew. But to hear last night him rejoicing that God, in all honesty, has set him in a room with another person that believes so strongly, and that they are able to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. God knows who to set us next to. God knows who to keep us near. But do we hear him and do we listen? These two were walking on the road to Emmaus. Somebody licked all the frosting off their cake. Their day was ruined. And they were talking about what went on. You can imagine for a moment, maybe, how does this happen? How can this be? Can they get away with it? What is going on? But who comes alongside of them? And this is something that we all need to pay attention to. Who comes alongside of these individuals in their dark moment, in their struggle, in their confusion? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not alone. We don't need to live in fear. Yes, we have fear in our flesh. There's no doubt about it. But we, in reality, through Christ Jesus, overcome the flesh, that we don't have to live in fear. They're talking about what had happened, and they were discussing it together. And Jesus, he draws up near them. And this is something that we need to understand about Christ the King. He is always there. He is always upon his throne, and he is always victorious. And he cares. He cared about two individuals on the road to Emmaus. He cares about a congregation at Hancock. He cares about the congregations in Houghton. He cares about his congregation throughout this world. He is still on his throne. We have a lot to be thankful for. He draws near them, and he was walking along with them, and he was listening. God is listening. He hears us. But their eyes were holding. They didn't understand him. Because we don't know Jesus by flesh. We don't know him by our own intellect. He is known, what I think is interesting, is through, yes, the power of the word, by the power of the spirit, through the breaking of bread. That's where he's seen. That's how he's known. God, Christ Jesus is known by revelation. By revelation. But their eyes were holding. There's a purpose. So he turns and he asks them a question as they're walking along this road. He says, you know, what is this conversation? You guys, this is my own words. You guys really look down on your luck. You guys look like, man, really, it's a bad day. What are you talking about? What is consuming you? Could the same question be asked of me today? Yes. I don't need to look into the congregation. What is consuming you? Why are you so sad? Why is this so difficult? Because, in all honesty, Jesse has a plan in his mind. Jesse thinks he knows how things should go. Jesse has a tendency to listen to the rhetoric that's going on around. Those chief priests and those elders that said enough of him and we got rid of him. We listen to that stuff, thinking that they won. He says, what is this conversation? Why are you, that you're holding with each other? And they're blown away. They're literally shocked. Can you imagine? And I'm dead serious. You might think I'm crazy, and I probably am a little bit. Go down to Houghton. Go down to a business. Stand at Walmart and ask people, why are you wearing that mask? I'm not making fun of the mask. That's not my point. Why are you wearing that mask? Well, because there's this virus out there called COVID. What's COVID? What is COVID? Can you imagine if you actually said that? How many people say, where you been? You know, it's not just here in Michigan. It's not just here in the United States. It's throughout the world. Where have you been? Haven't you heard of this? That's how shocking this was. This is how shocking it was. So they turned around and said, you know, looked at him very sadly. Holy cow, how in the world do you not know this? And one of them, named Cleophas, he answers and he says, are you the only visitor ever to Jerusalem? Where did you come from? Where did you come from? He says, you don't know what things have happened? What has gone on in the last few days? This is big news. Everybody knows about this. How could you not know? And he turns and he wants them to talk. See, this is what we miss about our God. See, we often think that prayer is only, well, I got to be careful how I phrase this. It's important. God wants us to pray. But it's not just for God. It's for us. That we would have this conversation with him. That he, by the power of his spirit, through his word, and by even the power of his body, can encourage us in and through this prayer. That we can receive comfort. And even by the spirit, receive answers. It says even in the scripture, when we don't know what to pray for, it says the spirit makes intercession for us. And that it, even in our groanings, it is lifted before God. He wants us to talk. Too often, Jesse wants to turn on CNN. Well, actually, I never do. But something. I don't even go on Facebook anymore because I can't handle that thing either. I'll turn on Parler there. Newsmax there. Something else. But how often do we go to prayer? To understand and know. It's very simple. I'll have people come to my office, and it's a beautiful thing. Don't think that I'm making light of it. And they'll come to my office, and they'll sit in a chair, and they'll share with me what's going on in their life. And I'll sit there kind of like a husband. Because I don't know what to say about some of these things. And I'm not saying God doesn't give insight and wisdom. But sometimes they'll get up out of their chair, and they'll leave saying, thank you for helping me. I listened. But they walked through it. Is it any different with God and the power of the Holy Spirit? He wants us to commune with him. He wants us to talk with him. He wants us to pray. And so that's why he says, you know, what are these things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty indeed. He says, in the word of God and also before all the people. And how our chief priests, they didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. I'm adding a little bit there. You can do what you want with your Bible. But the fact of it is, he says that before the chief priests and elders, but how our chief priests and elders, rulers, delivered him up to be condemned to death. And they crucified him. You haven't heard about this? And see, what's interesting about this is there's a lot of truth in what they're saying. That this all did take place. And we have a tendency at times to try to figure out, well, who exactly killed Jesus, you know? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? Luther says, well, you know, really, it was the Romans and the Jews acting in behalf of my sin, because my sin nailed them there. But he gave his life. See, that's part of the Easter story. But he gave his life. He gave it because he loves us. He gave it because he knew we couldn't do it. He laid down his life in our behalf, in the behalf of this world, because he knew what kind of mess we were in. But they're sitting there thinking someone robbed it, because they're only looking at half the story. They're only looking at parts of it. But God knows the complete plan. God knows it all. And so he turns around and they share this with him, that man, you know, he was mighty indeed. He is mighty in action. He is mighty in word. The power of the Spirit was with him. And our elders, they wanted him gone. And the worst part of it is, verse 21, we had this great hope. We hoped that he was the one to what? Just as we opened with earlier, to redeem Israel. And he will. He has. To redeem means to buy back, to pay. But they were looking for someone to redeem them from the grips of Rome. But Jesus the Christ went to that cross to redeem us from the grips of death, of sin, and yes, of the adversary. That's what he went there for. A much bigger picture. A much bigger picture. We hope that he would redeem us from Israel. And then they go into more detail, giving something that we need to understand. And yes, besides all this, today is the third day. What they're really saying there is, he's not just sleeping. He's really, really dead. He's dead, dead. Because the soul, in their understanding at this time, would have left the body by the third day. So he is really dead. You can find this all in the history if you read it and look it up, but oftentimes we have a tendency not to want to look into things. Yes, he said, besides this, now the third day since these things have happened, moreover, some of the women now have confused us, or amazed us, it says. Amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they saw a vision of angels, these messengers that shared with them, and said that he was alive. So then some of us went back and we actually turned around and went and looked for ourselves, and we found it was just like the women had said, that he wasn't there. And Jesus turns around and he says this very powerful statement. He says, oh, foolish ones. Oh, you dear children. Oh, you dear children. You're slow of heart to believe. Doesn't say they don't believe. It just means it comes very difficult. It's very difficult for us to understand that God is above all this. God is above all of these things in our life. God knows. But do we look to him? Are we too busy on the road to Emmaus kicking stones because we didn't get our way? Do we look to him? Do we allow him to allow everything to work out? Oh, you're slow at heart to believe. That's me. He says, because all the prophets, all those that have spoken, all in the previous, you know, Torah, the five books, they spoke how necessary this was. They spoke about the coming of Christ. They spoke how he, in reality, would redeem his people. And then he comes across and he says, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And the answer is yes. It was very necessary that Christ Jesus would come to this earth and that he, in reality, would take our place upon that cross and that he would pay for the penalty of our sin debt and that he also not would remain in the power of death but would be victorious and that he would be resurrected and that he would be ultimately our ultimate king, if we could say it in that way. He is our king. And we have a hard time with the word king at times because we've seen kings of the past. We've seen kings like Herod who have been just brutal and unfair. But our king is sovereign. Our king is victorious. And our king is justice. And he brings justice. And so we turn around oftentimes because we understand earthly kings and we have a tendency to say, well, that's not what I'm looking for. But he is above all that. He said it was necessary. And then what I think is beautiful here, he doesn't leave them in their ignorance. It says that he goes all the way back, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. And what does he do? He shares the word of God with them to encourage them. To allow them to see that they are going to be okay above and beyond this circumstance. Has it changed for us today? Have we gotten to a certain point where we no longer need this? I think not. I think all the more we need this. And all the more the world needs to hear this truth. That God is above all of this. That we don't need to live in fear. That we don't need to live in fear of our life. Or anything else when we are found in Christ Jesus. I tried talking about that a little bit today, and I'm not saying not to respect people. You need to respect people and their wishes also, sure. But if we are so afraid to die, then we will never live. We will never live. Yes, you can say Jesse is a radical, and he's saying go jump off a bridge. That's not what I said. In the day and age we live in, we love to twist people's words. But if you are so afraid to live, you'll never leave your house. Ever. It's like Zig Ziglar used to say. If you were to go on a main street in Boston somewhere and wait for every single light to turn green at the same time, you'll never get anywhere. You go as far as you can, and if you have to stop, you wait again. But that's how you get there. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's the same with our lives. If we're so afraid, we will never go anywhere. And I'm not saying people shouldn't be safe. I'm not saying that they shouldn't do what they feel called to do. But stop judging people by it. It's a different form of legalism. We need to love one another. To encourage one another. And we need to be the message of peace. Don't you know that some of these times, they're to teach us. And Jesus is teaching them on the road to Emmaus that these dark times they went through were for a purpose. Because it brought salvation to the world. It brought salvation to the world. And so now they start drawing near a city. And I got to get cruising here. But they drew near a city, their town they were looking for. And Jesus, he is acting as though he was going to continue on. I love how it says that. Because he wants us to desire him, in my opinion. To desire him. He doesn't force himself upon anybody. He doesn't walk in there like some people do and say, well, let me come in here and show you how it's all done. Let me teach you how it should be. He comes across in this way of, do you want to know more? Are you hungry? Do you have a desire to know truth? And they turn around and they look at him and say, brother, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Come on in with us. Day's almost over. It's getting dark. Come on in with us. And he does. He enters into their home. But this is the interesting part. He's the guest. Jesus the Christ, they don't know it's Jesus at this moment, but he is the guest. And he is the one to break the bread. He is the one to do this blessing. It was generally the head of the house that would do this. You see, Christ always gives to us, even in the moments of our difficulty, even through our struggles, we desire to know him, and he provides. He provides. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's no different for us today. Do we desire for fellowship with him, or do we desire for him to give us the answers, to give us peace? Do we desire for him to fellowship with us? And when he goes in and he breaks the bread, what does it say? Their eyes were open. They knew there was something unique about this guy just by his words. They knew there was something unique by, if you could say, oh, I knew him in spirit. But then through the breaking of bread, which means giving of himself, in my opinion, they knew him. And he was no longer necessary at that physical moment to be there because they had received the comfort and the encouragement that they needed. In fact, they received it so well, what does it say they do? Even though they were telling Jesus, it's getting too late to travel, it's getting too late to do this, they can't contain it. They get up and they run off to Jerusalem to go encourage the brothers. Well, you might think I'm a little hulu, and that's okay. But I'm here not to bring you darkness, but to encourage you that God is still upon his throne, that Christ Jesus is at the right hand, making it in reality that he is the propitiation for my sin debt and for my life and for your sin debt and your life, that he is our advocate, that he is standing there in our behalf. And there are those that would seek to rob us from pleasure, seek to rob us from comfort is probably a better word, or peace. We're not going to find it out there. Brothers and sisters in Christ, believe it or not, where we will find this comfort, where we will find this peace is right here in this book. And maybe it's bad for me to say, I don't care what translation, within reason. Read this book. Ask for the comfort to come to you. Because God is a living God. Christ is a living King. And his spirit is a living spirit that speaks through a living word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not a time to have our head down, looking, kicking stones. It is rather a time to say, thanks be to God, because he is still upon his throne, and he still has healing. He still has strength. May we be the light of the gospel to a world that so desperately needs to hear it. Because if anyone needs to hear it, it is now. It is now. Happy Thanksgiving. Go enjoy your turkey with your 6 or 20 or 30 people, depending upon what the Spirit leads you to. Do not allow a government to tell you what you can do, what you can't do. And that's wrong for a pastor to say, I'm sure of it. I'm not a theologian. All I'm asking is don't live in fear. When someone can explain to me how, right here, the germ doesn't go any farther, but I sit down at a table here and take my mask off, how that changes anything, then I'll agree with you. And if you want to wear it, and if you want to be safe and do all this stuff, fine. That's not my issue. But may we never turn on people. It's causing a division. If you see someone that feels comfortable doing it, allow them to do it. Don't think that I don't ever wear one. I don't like it. But I'm not going to go into a store that desires for me to wear one, and I'm not going to bash them. It's their store. But if I don't want to go in there, I don't have to. We need to know God is upon his throne, that Christ has given all things for us, that we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. We need to live our lives in faith and in truth, but also in forgiveness. Now, you might think I'm smoking something, and pastors should be held to a higher accountability, and I agree with that. But if you can tell me that some of these politicians haven't been seeing out in public without their stuff on, then I guess I'll repent. But I've seen it. All I'm saying is be forgiving. Do what God calls you to do. Be as safe as you need to be. And consider other people's feelings. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word. Father, we thank you that you've given us an insight of the road to Emmaus, that even though we think we're in a dark time with no hope, You are always there. You are always listening. And you desire for us to speak. Father, may we never come across as hateful people, but may we come across as patient, loving people that feel the call of the Spirit. But may we live in that Spirit. Father, may we never become often what we fight against in churches as judgmental, but may we never enter out into the world being in the same way. Father, may we have patience and perseverance. We thank you for all things. We thank you for the blessings of the tables that we will celebrate around. But also, Father, we know there's many that do not have a lot. We know even with this pandemic going on, there are many people that have gone through a lot of loss of income, and gone through a lot of loss in many other ways. We pray that you would be with them, and that if there's something we can do, allow it to be known. Father, may we continue to love one another, encourage one another, and always look to you. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.